So our reading is from Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down, and at once he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord. You've noticed Abby is multitasking. We have new people on the band rota. It's like the grown-ups have gone away, isn't it? You know, rather unkindly, Alan suggested it was the lunatics taking over the asylum, but I don't think that's true at all. So for the first time ever, I'm actually preaching at the 10:30. I've never done that before. I've been doing this for sort of 6 or so years. I've never been trusted to be at the 10:30 before. So don't let on what's going to happen now, because it's going to be a bit of a mystery to me, I think. But never mind. So there we are. And the story reminds me of when I was a child. Long time ago, of course. But between you and me, I haven't always been this size. Difficult to imagine, but I was once a little child. A sweet little child, a little boy. And hearing the story of Zacchaeus reminds me of when I was that small boy in a village in Hampshire. I lived in a small village near Basingstoke, not a particularly notable town, but Basingstoke is where I was born and brought up. And one of the great features that we had in Basingstoke in those times, because of course you must remember, everything was in black and white then, you see. You know, I didn't see in colour till I was about 21. And it was a lot different then. It was a lot different. And one of the big things that happened in Basingstoke, it was the major thing that happened, was the Basingstoke Carnival. This took about 10 days. It was the two weekends. And, of course, it was the big event in the town. It was spectacular. It really was. In those simple, idealistic days, there were high wire acts. There was a motorcycle display team. There was a military tattoo that always ended it. And the highlight was always the carnival procession, which took place on the Thursday evening. And there, the whole town would be out lining the streets to watch the highly decorated floats built onto lorries and cars. Clowns walked alongside, and there were marching bands again. And my favourite at that time was the huge army vehicles, because in Basingstoke we had Thornycroft, who used to build the mighty Antar. It's the biggest tractor that they used on the roads. It dragged tanks around. So, you know, there were always some interesting military vehicles that was of interest. And the floats represented the various organisations that were going on in the town. And there was the fun fair, there was candy floss, there was toffee apples, and of course the all-pervading smell of frying onions. But that was Carnival Week. Something which doesn't happen now. But the crowds were so large that people were spilling off the pavements and into the streets. And so, hearing the story of Zacchaeus, I'm reminded of being in a very large crowd as a very small person. And I can remember, you know, tugging at my dad, you know, trying to look up. And of course, picked me up, stuck me on his shoulders. Straight away, I could see everything. I could see around over the heads of the crowd. So I can just about remember how Zacchaeus must have felt. So let's look at this story in a bit more detail. Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. In fact, he was a chief tax collector. Anyone here a tax collector? No. Well, you're amongst friends, you can admit to it. The point is that tax collectors in early Palestine were nothing like the fine body of men and women who make up the HMRC, God bless them. Nothing like those at all. It was a different thing. Remember, Palestine was ruled from Rome, so Rome wanted to collect taxes. But instead of having and employing their own tax collectors to do so in a fair and equitable way, they subcontracted it. They said to someone, right, you can be my tax collector. You will have the authority to raise the taxes. We want X from you. What you get on the side, in addition to that, is up to you. So, not surprisingly, they weren't that popular. They were collaborating with the governing force, with the ruling authority. And they were usually Jewish. We know this because we're told that Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham. So he was a Jew, but he was working for the Romans. And because he was a chief tax collector, it would have meant that he would have probably subcontracted some of this. And so each of the different tax collectors would have all taken their cut. And so we're told, not surprisingly, he was a very rich man. He was despised by his fellow people. They're not popular. They were outcasts of society. And it's interesting, isn't it, that we see again, and we see this all the way through Scripture, Jesus eating with the outcasts, with the ones who are rejected by polite society, the ones that people don't want to go and share a meal with. But we see Jesus sees Zacchaeus, obviously knows him, knows who he is, and says, I'm coming to your house. And so, there we see this little small man, and he wants to see Jesus. And so, he wants to see Jesus. He wants to see the one who is preaching and changing lives. He wants to see Jesus, but he can't see Jesus because, as we've heard, Luke tells us he's short. So, I don't think anyone in the crowd is going to pick him up and put them on his shoulders. So what does he do? He runs ahead. He climbs a tree. He runs ahead of the crowd. I think that's crucial that Luke tells us that he runs ahead of the crowd. If he'd stayed in the crowd, he would not have been able to see Jesus. Too many people, too short. So why is this so crucial? Well, if we stay in the middle of the crowd, all we're going to see are people's backs. If we stay in the middle of the crowd, you often have to move where the crowd moves. Wherever the crowd goes, then they decide where you're going to go. Zacchaeus refused to let the crowd prevent him from seeing things clearly. He wants to see Jesus. And so he has to physically rise above the crowd. And once he gets above the crowd, he sees Jesus, but he also, I think, sees himself. He sees himself honestly for the first time. Because he says, I'm a sinner, I need to change. I give half my possessions to the poor. I will make restitution to those that I may have cheated. He sees all this with the help of Jesus because he did not stay in the crowd where he couldn't see Jesus. And perhaps Luke's account of this encounter makes a good question for us. What crowds are we stuck in? What crowds are keeping us from seeing Christ or seeing ourselves? What crowd have you got yourself caught up in? What crowd is it that tells you where to go and what to think? What crowd is telling you what to think of the world? How you see the world? So we have to rise up above these crowds. We have to rise up above the crowd and look for Jesus. Which is what Zacchaeus did. And sometimes the crowds in the crowd were prevented. They've prevented us from seeing Jesus because, I don't know, perhaps they like to gossip or they speak negatively about people. They're constantly passing judgment on others. But why are we in that crowd? Sometimes the crowd we are in just keeps focusing on things that we shouldn't be focusing on. Perhaps we're drinking too much. Perhaps we're buying too much. Perhaps we're focusing too much on ourselves. What crowd do we go around with? What crowd are we in at work, at school, or in our communities? Do they help us to see Jesus or to be like Jesus? If not, why are we still on their level? Why are we still in that crowd? Sometimes the crowd keeps you from seeing Jesus, and so you never seem to notice the poor. We never seem to notice those who are struggling. Because we're in a crowd, we don't stand up for those who've been abused or neglected. We don't see them because the crowd we are in is pushing us in a different direction. So, just a chance, just take a moment. Think about what crowd you are in. Is that crowd keeping you from seeing Jesus? The crowd may well be a group of real people who we interact with on a daily basis. Or it might be a TV show that we watch. Or it might be that online group that we're part of. So what will help us to rise above the crowd and see Jesus? Well, if all else fails, it's not a bad thing to pray. So certainly by prayer, we can pray to be raised up so that we can see Jesus. Perhaps interaction with the scriptures, being in your house groups and engaging with scripture would be another way. Perhaps by going out as individuals and perhaps befriending that outcast, that person that others reject. We can always come to worship in our church communities. But also, we should be going out, visiting the sick, feed the hungry. So I think that is the question for us today. What group are you in? What crowd is driving you? What helps you to lift your head above that crowd, to run ahead of the crowd so that you can see Jesus? And surely if we do those things, if we pray, if we interact with Scripture, if we come together in worship, we will surely rise above the mediocrity of those misleading crowds. And we'll see the Christ who loves us so much. Amen. Amen.